Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
I want to preface the trigger warnings by saying today's episode is a very heavy, dark romance. Please take care of yourself as this episode touches on upsetting material. We will not go into graphic detail during today's episode, but if you're interested in reading the book, we will list the author's triggers as described.
Today's episode trigger warnings are violence, sex trafficking, non-con rape, described, sexual assault, described, knife play, blood, psychological manipulation, Stockholm syndrome, death, suicidal thoughts, depression, panic attacks, trauma, kidnapping, plane crash, murder, physical abuse, slavery, torture, described, BDSM, mutilation, gun violence, military, POW trauma, and voyeurism.
Oh my god, imagine somebody's like, oh, plane crash. I can't. All right, and I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from ESHATHE_GR8.
I know the last part is great.
Yeah, me too. That's who it's from, guys. And it says, you guys are like my millennial older sisters who tell me all about the books you're reading. This is the best podcast I have ever consumed in my life. Love y'all.
Thank you so much.
In your
Cutie.
Life,
my goodness.
We're your girls.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Red Rabbit by Devin Rivers. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3. I liked the first quarter of it a lot, and I wish the book was about that only.
Yeah.
And the ending, I got issues with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gave it a 4.5. I legitimately think I have Stockholm syndrome from it, but that's why I gave it such a high review, because I really like books that fuck with your head and you're just like, why the fuck do I like this? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave it a 3.5. This would have been a 4.5, 5-star if, like Shelby said, the whole story was just the first chunk of the book, because, oh my god, that is my shit.
Yeah.
But once it gets into the super dark stuff and then the ending, I was like, oh my fucking god. The ending is infuriating, and we will have to discuss it when we get there, but it's absolutely fucking infuriating.
I want her to write the beginning for a whole book, because it was like watching Lost.
Yeah.
And I fuck with Lost, okay? I want to read about some Lost romance.
Ooh. Like a survivalist romance, I love. Like Claire Kent, Last Light, mwah, chef's kiss. And I thought that's what was going to happen. I mean, obviously, minus the zombies. We start with our female main character, Kaylin, who is being berated on the phone by her shitty fiancé, Tyler. And she's currently boarding her flight from the Arctic Circle back home to New York. And I guess she was visiting one of her girlfriends in the Arctic Circle.
In the Arctic Circle? What is that? Where is that?
The top of the globe.
Is that Antarctica?
No, that's the bottom.
Yeah. Oh. Tyler's accusing her of cheating on him and hiding her engagement ring in a photo she posted and dressing too scandalously. So he's one of those.
Ew, what a douche. Ew.
She tells him she has to go because her plane is boarding. And this plane, nightmare fuel. It's a tiny bush plane that she's going to be going from the Arctic Circle to New York City. It sounds like it seats like 6 people, maybe.
I didn't even know that bush planes do that long of a distance.
She might be going to like Canada and then flying. But either way, bush planes, that. I can't.
No.
She notices a man being escorted in handcuffs by an air marshal who also boards the plane. But she also notices this man is hot as hell and dangerous looking. And he's seated right behind her, because obviously there's like 2 seats on this plane, so.
Oh, of course.
They take off and she eventually calms her nerves enough to take a nap. She wakes up 3 hours later to crazy turbulence. And the captain is like, hey, this is fine. And then they nosedive and they crash.
I'm never getting on a plane again.
Kaylin is knocked out on impact, but wakes up and sees the pilot was impaled by the propeller. He's dead. Water's filling the cabin, and the air marshal is dead too, and it's just her and the prisoner. He's unconscious, but he's alive. She grabs him and drags him toward the busted out front window before they both drown. She drags him toward the bank of the small mountain lake that they crashed into. So thankfully they didn't like crash into the ocean or something.
Oh my god, so scary.
Kaylin swims back to the plane and retrieves a crate of supplies, starts a fire on shore, and now she's fully exhausted. So she is a girl who just takes care of business.
Yeah, she is.
And this guy's just snoozing on the shore.
I think I'd still be sitting there being like, oh my god.
I'd still be in the plane.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, oh well.
I'd be like, where's a stick or something I can stab myself with? I'm not doing that.
Our male main character wakes up and we learn that his name is Graham. There's a woman in a bra stitching up a gash on her arm and he asks what happened and she says that everyone else is dead. He notices he's still handcuffed and he's like, hey, did you get the keys perchance? And she's like, nope, I don't know what you did and if you're dangerous. So the key is still on the plane. Smart.
Also, like, if he fucking asked me, did you get the key by any... No, bitch. We fucking crashed. No, I didn't get the fucking key for your handcuffs.
I don't give a shit about your keys.
Literally. Fuck you.
He makes a dig at her about how he overheard her conversation with her fiancé and how her fiancé sounds like a real piece of shit. He starts to bang his handcuffs on a rock and she's like, oh my god, fine, I have the key, but before I free you, I need to know we're working together to get out of here. He says, okay, and she unlocks his cuffs and he's like, just so you know, I am dangerous, but you saved my life, so I owe you. She swims back to the plane to look for the black box, but it's gone. She does find some more supplies, but whoopsie, there's only one sleeping bag.
Oh no. What are you guys gonna do? Squeeze into one sleeping bag?
He goes to the new crate she brought, and she's super sketched out when he pulls out a gun, given his history. They find a med kit, so she gives him some stitches that he barely even flinches for. They decide to get some shut-eye because when it's morning time, they're going hiking. After a restless night, they're off, and he starts making comments about her shitty fiancé again. Like, he's not letting it go. He's just like, hey, your fiancé sounds horrible. He sucks. She says that he's just a little bit controlling, but Grandma's like, you can be controlling without being an asshole. They make it to a peak, but it's wilderness as far as the eye can see. And Kaylin's like, yeah, we are so fucked. They set up camp, and as she scoots into the sleeping bag, she's like, just don't touch me.
Don't worry, sweetheart. I said as I turned my back to her, when I touch you, it'll only be after you beg me to.
I mean, they're the only two people here.
Yeah, do it. You have to share a sleeping bag.
It's already been 2 days.
Yeah, that's plenty of time.
The next day, they continue their exploring, and once again, Graham is making digs about Tyler and how he probably sucks in bed, not letting it go at all.
I feel like I'd be like, okay, oh my god, stop.
Let it go. At least I didn't have handcuffs on me.
Yeah, criminal. Tyler is a wonderful lover. See, again, wonderful lover just doesn't do it for me. It doesn't scream sex god. Oh, and you're such an expert? Women often use my name interchangeably with God. So yes, he said dryly. Okay.
That's so cringy. I hate when they're like, I am God. When they're like, oh my God, and they're like, you called me baby?
Jenna.
Yeah?
You don't hate that.
I think it's cringy when he's like, there's no God here, baby. Just me.
As they walk, she's talking about how boring this is, and he's like, this is beautiful, you're just not paying attention. She looks around and sees that he's right. This wilderness is actually super beautiful. After 2 days of hiking, they're starting to feel the effects of their wild last few days. Graham goes out to try and find some plants to help with their aches and pains, since he's a super outdoorsy guy. He catches a couple of fish with a makeshift spear, and as Kaylin cooks the fish over a fire, she also tends to his wounds, but the contact has Graham thinking about how hot this woman is. And I also really like the fact that this woman is in her late 30s. She's not early 20s. She's 38.
Yeah, I like that.
The food is delicious, and she uses the last of her phone battery to take a picture of the scenery since they don't have any hope of getting a signal. As they sit by the fire, she's like, damn, this guy's so hot. And the next day, they catch more fish, and even Kaylin is able to catch and kill one of her own. They find some blueberries growing, and they have themselves a nice little feast. That night, they're snoozing in the tent, and Kaylin is woken up by something rustling around outside the tent, and she smacks Graham awake. He's like, it's probably a bear, and does the goofy, hey bear thing, where he's like, hey bear. The bear scurries off, and they have a restless night's sleep. The next morning, Graham accidentally walks up on Kaylin washing up in the river, and he's blessed with witnessing the most perfect ass and tits he's ever seen.
Oh, nice.
She doesn't even shy away and just asks for a blanket to dry off with, and he randomly blurts out that she's not his type. Like, she's like, can you get me the blanket? And he's like, you're not my type.
I would have been like, fuck you. Hand me the blanket.
She walks up to him completely naked, snatches the blanket from him, and tells him he's a liar. Now he's like, damn, this girl's fiance doesn't deserve her. She deserves to be worshipped. And now he's like, yeah, we're going to be fucking at some point before this ordeal's done. They smoke enough fish to last a week and head back out into the wilderness. It starts dumping rain as they walk, and when she falls down, Grim tells her not to twist an ankle or he's leaving her ass behind. Which, rude as fuck, she saved your life.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
They get the tent up for the night, but no fire since everything's all soggy. They have to get in their undies and huddle together for body heat.
Aww. Is someone gonna get a boner?
I don't know.
Kaylin wakes up in the middle of the night, tangled up with Graham, and he's touching a sensitive spot on her hip bone that makes her super soaky.
Yeah. It's like literally on the side of her hip.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not a very erotic spot.
I get it. Because the minute Andrew kisses my neck, just a gentle, just a nice little peck, I'm like, ugh,
whip it out. Give me your dick.
She tells him to move his hand, but he just slips it lower, circling it under the waistband of her damp panties.
Oh, wow. Damp panties. I buried my face into his chest and pressed my hips against his leg. I knew my panties would be wet. I wondered at what point he'd be able to feel it. No, it came out as a breathless moan. I moved my leg up a little further and my thigh lightly brushed his cock, now hard in his boxer briefs. Yes? No? You're not making sense, he teased. I heard the barest catch in his breath, then, you're wet for me right now, aren't you? Yeah?
Yeah, you touched my hip.
My hip clitoris.
Finally, she's like, please, Graham, touch me. He tells her if he starts, he won't stop, and she says, good. He rolls on top of her, and they do some dry humping, and he leans down, kissing her as he presses two fingers inside of her. He kisses down her stomach and pushes her panties to the side to eat her out.
My fingers slide in and out against her G-spot, and I felt her tighten around them as she grew even wetter. She was going to feel amazing around my dick. I could feel my arousal already straining against the fabric of my boxer briefs, and I wanted so badly to slam inside her right now. But I needed to see her come first, and I wanted my name on her lips.
See, this part of the book, I was like, yes, I could read a whole book of this.
Yeah, this is good.
He edges her a little bit and tells her how good she tastes. And I just put in parentheses, how. They have been hiking for like 5 days in the wilderness. She is stinky, and I know it.
Yeah, they're bathing in a river. Same undies. It is pungent down there.
Yep.
You're so wet, you're dripping, I whispered. My breath on her clit made a shiver rush through her. Tell me how bad you want to come, princess, I said. I pushed my fingers in and out, curling them as I slowly dragged them out. Oh God, she gasped. That's right, I said, her eyes locked with mine, and I saw the moment we both felt the fire erupt between us. Pray to me, baby girl. Ew.
Yeah, see?
Don't say that.
She comes on his tongue and fingers, and he shoves his fingers inside of her mouth. He pulls out his dick and slides into her, and he chokes her a little bit as he fucks her and commands her to come again. She does, and he tells her she's a good girl. He comes, and then she freezes, saying she's going for a walk. He lets her go, and then he hears her scream. When he finds her, she's surrounded by 5 men with assault rifles. This is where the book takes a turn for the worst.
Yeah.
A 6th man walks out and is like, Wolf, what are you doing here? And Grandma's like, oh my God, Cooper. These 2 men know each other.
And they don't even know where they are?
Nope. No. They're like in the middle of nowhere.
And these guys are just like, oh, hey, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
They're old buddies, but Cooper's like, I can't let your girl go. Sorry, guy. And Grandma's like, yeah, that's not happening. But Cooper's like, hey, she's way too profitable for me to let her go. He points Graham towards a service station he can walk to in a few weeks, but says that's all he can do for him. So he's like, walk that way for 3 weeks. Call someone. I don't know.
I'm taking her.
But I'll see you later, right?
Yeah. Call me when you get home.
Yeah.
Cooper says if he comes after Kaylin, he'll have to kill him, friends or not. Cooper and his men leave with Kaylin, but Graham is determined to follow them and save her. As they walk, one of the men slaps Kaylin, so she books it, but he tackles her down and goes to zip tie her wrists. Before he can, he's taken down as Graham barrels through the trees. She hears a shotgun and Graham falls to his knees as she screams his name and she's pulled away from him. She's zip tied and then they leave Graham lying in the dirt to die.
Oh my God.
They bring her to a compound that they call the Warren, and Cooper says she'll be auctioned off tomorrow. They force her to shower, shave, and put on a thin white t-shirt dress. They restrain her, and a nurse inserts a tracker and an ID into her forearm.
Jesus Christ.
You can see where this book is going now.
Yeah.
They ask if she's on birth control, and she says yes, she has an IUD. Then they shove a pill at her, telling her it'll help with her integration process. She's put into a cell, and she can see tons of other women. Now she knows she's been kidnapped by human traffickers.
Yeah.
This part, I was just, like, in the middle of nowhere. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Like, what are the odds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drugs kick in, and she's vaguely aware of being raped by a guard that night. Yeah, and the whole book is pretty much this, so buckle up. The next morning, she's tased, stripped, collared, and sent off to the auction. The collar comes with a remote that her guards can use to electrocute her whenever they want.
It's wearing a literal shock collar.
Yeah. Cooper tells her that whoever bids the highest for her gets her for 5 days, and they can do whatever they want to her in that time. Her and the 19 other women are dragged backstage, and Cooper announces he has a new bunny up for auction. He drags Kaylin out and degrades her on stage in front of a room full of old rich men. Like, he's, like, bending her over. She's not wearing panties. He's, like, putting his fingers inside of her. Oh,
God.
Yeah. She's sold for $5.5 million. For 5 days.
For that person to do whatever they want.
What the fuck?
She's taken to an atrium where the man who bid on her holds her remote and tells her to run so he can chase her. She has no choice, but she obviously doesn't get away, and he also rapes her. After it's over, she's taken to the showers, and she's assaulted by another guard.
And is this, like, in the book all in detail?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's very detailed in the book.
Oh.
She's angry and also numb. And I just have in my notes, this poor fucking woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, you survive a fucking plane crash to be here?
Yeah.
She's brought to a well-decorated suite where her rapist is waiting for her. And we learn that his name is Craven. He rapes her again and then orders her food because she hasn't eaten. He again rapes her, but is gentle about it, which is confusing to her as he insists that she comes.
What the fuck?
Which I feel like is psychological warfare, because, like, your body's betraying you.
Yeah.
He tells her for the next week, nobody but him is to touch her, and if they do, she is to tell him immediately. She agrees, and then her guard, Sal, comes in and pulls her out of the room.
The next morning, Craven sends her breakfast, just like he promised he would. When she's done with her breakfast, she is assaulted again by a guard and told to keep quiet or her life will become a living hell. She's then escorted into Craven's room, where he has her gets dressed in a very revealing outfit. But once she's dressed, he could barely see her outfit past the red marks from the zip ties that the guards put on her before they assaulted her. So he knows someone touched her. He demands to know what happened to her, and she says that she can't say or she's gonna be hurt. She wants to know why he cares so much, because he's not gonna be at the compound forever, and she's gonna have to be here to deal with this once he's gone. He tells her not to worry about it, but it will be handled, and now they have somewhere to be. They go to a sitting room where Craven talks to two other men who also have women with them. Everything they speak about is absolutely disgusting, but they talk about it so casually, and it relights Kaylin's anger. Like, this whole time she's been, like, off and on angry and just, like, shut down, but now she's, like, fucking livid again. While they're in this sitting room, more fucked up stuff happens to the other girls, including some knife play, and Kaylin has to excuse herself to the restroom, and she vomits everywhere.
How could you not?
And it's very descriptive on the knife play.
Very.
Once she's back, Craven starts touching her and then sells her to one of the other men for $600,000 for only 5 minutes. What? So he just made $600,000 for 5 minutes of that person touching her.
Oh my God. I have no words.
The man goes down on her and he's 600K richer. The men then go to dinner before the games begin and her guards take her away. She's undressed and her collar lights up before she's pushed into the forest for Craven to chase her again. Craven isn't the one to find her though, unfortunately. Roger, the knife play sadist, is, and he cuts her, making her bleed before telling her that he'll see her again very soon. Craven finds her conscious, thankfully, in a bloody mess, and he asks if it was Roger, and she says yes, and he just walks away. He storms away pissed. A little while later, she's in Craven's suite when he bursts through the door. He's covered in Roger's blood and tells her that he won't be touching her again, and if he does, he will kill him.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah. They shower, and he washes her before he starts assaulting her some more. Then her guards are there to take her back to her cell. Craven lets them know that she's allowed to keep her towel on, and she can walk by herself unassisted, not to touch her. The next day, they bring her back to Craven's room, and he
assaults her multiple times, but they're getting scrambled in her brain and her Stockholm syndrome is kicking in. When he's done, he showers and he says that he'll be right back. He wants her to clean up and then he's out the door.
So at this point, is she like, okay, maybe I do kind of like this? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, poor woman.
Like, she wants to not like it anymore, but she's like, I don't want to say enjoying it, but she's not like fighting it.
Yeah.
When he gets back, he gives her a dress and tells her to put it on because they're going to go to a dinner. After dinner, she's escorted away and she assumes that she's going back to her cell, but she notices that the guards are taking her through a different pathway into a room that she's never been to before. They tie her up to a pole in the middle of the room and she panics when Roger steps through the door and she knows that he's there for revenge.
No!
And she does not know if she's going to make it until morning time. After a night of complete torture, Craven and the guards burst in and Roger dies because Craven doesn't make idle threats. He literally uses the knife that was used on Kaylin and slits Roger's throat right in front of her.
Good. Even though they should like all be killed, but like, I guess that's one less.
And that's kind of where it messes with your head because all of these men are so horrible. And then Craven does like a couple of nice, I guess, things that he's the lesser of all of the evils. So you're kind of like rooting for him, even though he's just as bad as them.
Yeah.
Craven gets her to his room, cleans her, and lets her sleep. She wakes up to him reading, and he's ready to fuck her some more. You were tortured for 24 hours? Nah, baby.
I paid my money for you.
Yeah. You're gonna fuck.
Once they get done, he gets her food delivered and then leaves for a couple hours. Once he's back, he continues to assault her again, but this time is when she feels like an emotional shift with him. Like, it's actually, even though it is assault, it feels more like, oh, I hate the term, making love. Like, he's very sweet, very gentle, like, a lot of eye contact.
Such a mind fuck.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When it's done, they go to bed knowing that tomorrow's his last day here and she's going to be thrown back to the wolves. In the morning, they fuck one more time and she begs him to take her with him. And he says that he'll talk to Cooper, but he can't promise her anything. And then he's gone and she's back in her cell. It's been 2 weeks since he left. She's assaulted by one of the guards named Vandal every single day. But the deal was Craven paid this guard to be the one to, like, protect her. So he assaults her once a day and no other guard can touch her.
Okay.
Ugh. She's summoned to Cooper's office, gets assaulted by Cooper, and then told that she will be auctioned in 1 week. It's been a week. Again, she's seen Vandal every single day, and she's even been assaulted by Cooper multiple times. She's bought, and on her first night with this new man, she's taken to the Red Room, aka the BDSM punishment room. Her new, ew, I hate that I put this in here, but that's what it is. Her new owner for 5 days is named Paxton, and she is to address him as Sir. And then he gets to work on breaking her in with his flogger over and over and over again until he's finally ready to assault her. He leaves and the guards carry her back to her cell. Later that night, she's brought back to him, given a dress and a collar, and they go to cocktail hour. And the collar is different than her shock collar. It's like an actual dog collar with the leash.
Ugh. And he walks her on the leash.
Yeah.
Like, this man is horrible. Like, fucking horrible.
That's when it gets super weird. This whole book just made my thoughts go weird. So I was like, bring her back to Craven.
Yeah. Stockholm syndrome.
Cocktail hour and dinner do not go as he planned, and she wasn't obedient enough. So back in his room, he tells her just that, and then he brutally assaults her. He dismisses her like she's trash afterwards, and she doesn't know if she's going to survive 5 whole days of this. The next day is worse than the first, and he almost kills her from the brutality of the torture. She wakes bandaged in her cell and hears someone calling her name, but she does not have the energy to respond. Later that day, she wakes up to Paxton standing over her, saying that he now has supervised visits with her since he damaged Cooper's goods too extensively.
So it was so bad that even the piece of shit owner of this operation was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Too far, man.
He was like stabbing her while he was raping her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, it's so graphically detailed. I wish I just didn't read that.
Yeah. You have to, like, dissociate while you read.
Yeah. Yeah. This would put me in a spiral if I was reading it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's assaulted by Paxton and tortured again until she blacks out. When she comes to, the guards are dead and she hears running water and knows Paxton is going to kill her next, but she can't move. When she hears footsteps, she tries to drag herself away from the bed, but a voice tells her it's okay. He's here to save her. And it's Graham.
Pokey! Graham! He came back.
Where have you been, my little criminal?
Well, she thought he was dead, remember? Because he got shot.
That's right. That's right.
He holds her as she completely breaks apart. Once she's calmed down a bit, she asks where Paxton is, and he's like, oh, he's dead over there.
Don't worry about him.
He gets her dress and hands her a gun and says that it's time for them to go. They go to the command room so she can fuck with some stuff to help them escape. Oh, yeah, she's like some badass military tech person, so she's like hella smart.
I think she's CEO of a military tech company.
Oh, hell yeah. Slay, girl, slay.
Women in STEM. Yeah, she's a really, really cool FMC.
Yeah, she is.
Hell yeah.
On their way to the command room, he kills multiple guards with trained precision from his military days, and she's starting to see him for who he is. Because before, he didn't say, like, that he was a retired military person. He just said that he was an outdoor survivalist guide.
Mm.
So things are clicking.
Okay.
As she works on the computer, Cooper goes on the radio and says that he knows Graham is there. She pulls the security footage of some human test labs, and Cooper tells Graham that he needs Kaylin because she's the best. She can help him develop superhumans for the military. So this whole human trafficking thing is to fund this project that Cooper's doing, where if someone as smart as Kaylin can make a chip to put into people to turn off their emotions, that way when they're getting tortured, if they are captured in combat, they will not break, they will not say shit, nothing.
They won't suffer.
Ah.
Because that happened to him. That's why he's all fucked
Cooper,
up.
Cooper, Graham, and their one other friend. They were in the it together.
Graham's brother, I think.
Yeah, they all got tortured. One of them dies, and Cooper and Graham were the only two left. And Cooper's like, hey, man, this is why I'm doing this. I know it's shitty, but, like, don't you think that we should continue on the project for the greater good? Like, oh, he's, like, God, pitching the idea to Graham as she's trying to get them out of there.
And he's like, this fucking man is crazy.
Start a GoFundMe.
Something. Reach out to your government officials. Instead, you're like, oh, I'm going to traffic people. Yeah. Crazy. That wrong equals out and makes this all right. No.
Well, he's also testing on the women, too.
Yeah. The human test lab is full of women that he has also trafficked to, like, try to run these programs on.
Fucking insane.
Graham asks Kaylin if she could really, actually, truly create some type of super chip that would turn off people's duress. And she says, technically, I probably could, but it's not fucking ethical. So no, I'm not going to do it. Graham pauses thinking about Trav and everything that he went through and all of his flashbacks in the military, but he ultimately tells Cooper that he won't join him. She finishes, he cuts the tracker out of her arm, and then they're on the move. Once they're out, she thanks him for coming from her, but they're not out of the woods yet. Pun intended. They are out of the Warren, but they're still in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
So now they have to try to find the ranger station about a week away. They start their trek, and after a few hours, she has to stop because she has a full-on mentee bee about needing to wash Paxton off her. She's like, he's on me. Like, this poor fucking girl.
Yeah.
So she goes in the creek, washes Paxton off of her. He cleans her wounds, and he tells her that she needs to try to sleep some more before they move out. The next day's rough. She's a complete zombie, and he knows that she will never be the same, but he reassures her that he's gone through torture as well, and they can make it through this together. And then they're on their way.
Kaylin is fucking struggling mentally and, of course, physically, having nightmares of Paxton torturing her every time she closes her eyes, and she just starts breaking. Before Paxton, she was, like, had a lot of fire and, like, a lot of will in her, and now she's just, like, a shell of a person. She's a full-blown mentee bee one night and scrambles to get Graham's gun. He is able to wrestle it from her, but she starts screaming and begging to just make everything stop. Graham reassures her that the best thing he can do is be with her and just reassure her that she's not alone, and he won't let them take her again. She's just so worried that she's going to end up back there. And once she comes down from hysteria, she spirals so hard. hard thinking about like how she legitimately would have just shot herself if Graham wasn't able to get the gun from her.
Yeah.
Which, understandable. She went through, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
On the fifth day, they found the ranger station and they were able to find an old generator that had a little bit of life left in it. She does her women in STEM techie stuff and gets everything set to send out a message. Graham says that he has someone he can send the message to, and Kaylin tells him they will only have about 30 seconds once it goes live to send the message out successfully. The generator spurs to life and he starts typing, calling in a favor, need extraction for two people, and he lists their coordinates. Come in hot, enemy Cooper has TAC team. She saw the confirmation on the screen for a split second before the generator died. Graham tells her that he sent the message to his old army friend Cal, who served with him and Cooper, and he'll probably be about 3 days out, so they just need to hold the line until then. Kaylin opens up to Graham about Craven, how even though it was beyond fucked up what he did his best to protect her with what he could and to treat her nicely, which I do have to agree with, so am I also getting Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes.
He raped her.
He did rape her.
He purchased and raped her.
Multiple times. And sold her.
He was just like the nicest of the rapists.
Yeah, he may have been nicer, but he was not nice.
And Graham's like, Pookie, he literally raped you. And she's like, yeah, but he didn't hurt me. And she tells him how she believes that he was actually there doing recon and networking, something shady, but wasn't really in it for the masochistic, benevolent side of things like the others were.
Okay, but my thing is, if he was there on recon trying to bring the whole thing down or whatever, which we never get confirmation, he didn't actually have to rape her behind closed doors.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. He still did that.
I think she asked him, like, why are you being, like, so nice? And he was like, my form of torture is psychological. At the end, he wanted to break her by having her ask him to fuck her and to make her come. And at, like, the fifth day, she asked him. She was like, please make me come. And I think that was, like, his goal.
Yeah.
They share a tension-filled moment, and Graham's like, damn, I wish you didn't just get fucked up beyond all repair because I want to kiss you right now. So she takes the reins and leans in for a little smooch. She remembers Cooper mentioning something about a person named Trav, and Graham tells her that that was his brother. Him, Travis, and Cooper, they were all deployed out together, and 8 years ago during a mission, they were captured and tortured along with his team, and they ended up taking Travis and a few others. When Cooper and Graham were rescued, they found Travis, but he was dead. And Graham literally went on an avenge killing spree for his brother and then tried killing himself, but Cooper stopped him, and that's the reason why he was in handcuffs, because he was getting charged for war crimes.
Oh my goodness.
He finally opened up to her, so now she wants to open up for him.
Ew.
Ew. Jenna.
I mean, accurate, but ugh.
I kissed him again until I was flushed and breathless. I could feel his cock through my pants. My stomach was tripping over itself at the feeling, and my heart was hammering in my chest, but I forced myself to take a deep breath. When you say we're done, he said softly. I nodded and bit my lip. I wanted him, badly, but I was so afraid I was going to get a flashback or have a panic attack. I want you, I said. I blushed at the admission, and he smiled, his hand still running up my back. Then I'm yours, princess, he said roughly.
Then I'm yours, princess.
They take things very slow, not to trigger her, and also to help her reclaim pieces that were taken.
I kissed his neck, and he shuddered in pleasure. My hand came down to my clit, and I tentatively rubbed it slowly, wanting more. But then shame washed over me, and I stopped. Graham's hand settled on mine, and he guided my fingers to slowly rub my clit. He didn't touch me, but used my hand to pleasure me. You deserve to feel whole, he said against my neck. You are gorgeous when you come, but that is your gift to give me, not mine to take. He kissed me again. Sweet.
She had her orgasm, and she felt like she was able to take a huge piece of herself back, which is choice.
Yes.
The next day, they come up with a plan when Cooper gets there, because they know that he's after them. Because so they ran away, and they're like, okay, he's probably like a day or two behind, like, we gotta get our shit together. At this point, Kaylin is getting very antsy at his arrival, because they know it can be any time now, and they've been waiting all day long. That is, until Cooper arrives at the house and makes himself known. There's this whole gang war showdown.
But there's just two of them.
But they want Kaylin.
And Graham is like a military genius, and he taught Kaylin how to fend for herself kind as much as he could in like 3 days.
Yeah.
He trained her.
Okay.
But she's got will. She's like, fuck yeah, I want these motherfuckers to die.
Yeah.
Graham gets shot in the back, and him and Kaylin are kind of kicking ass. They lock themselves into a room to give them a second to recoup, and then they hear a helicopter. It's Cal showing up. But before they could get super relieved, the door bursts open and someone throws a smoke bomb into the room. Graham gets his shit rocked, all while still bleeding out. And the last thing that he sees before everything goes black is Kaylin being dragged out of the room by her hair.
No!
And guess who got Kaylin? None other than the shitty-ass Vandal, who is the guard that raped her daily, so the other guards didn't rape her. But yeah. He sucks, and we hate him. And Kaylin is fucking pissed. She uses all of her fear and terror and turns it into anger, and she fights him with every single step because she refuses to go back to that hellhole. She's whacking him with anything she could find, rocks, dirt, and then finds a big-ass branch, and it was enough for him to let go of the grip he had on her hair when she hit him in the head hard enough, and in that moment of weakness, she lunged for his gun and grabbed it.
Yeah!
They have a tussle over it, and she's now on top of him, and he unfortunately knocks it out of her hand, and she's just punching him in his face over and over, and takes a rock and smashes it in his nose like she's fucking him up.
Yeah.
He gets off of her, and she finally is able to get the gun, and she pulls the trigger.
Shoot him!
Shoot him all.
Graham is woken in the room by Cal, and he's like, I don't care that I'm mortally injured right now. Find Kaylin and help her. So Cal sends two of his men for her. Vandal is on his knees clutching his now shot stomach, and Kaylin is like, I am not fucking going back there, and then shoots him right in the dick and tells him that was for raping her. Vandal is tossing and turning in agony, bleeding out. She walks up to him, standing over him, and then shoots him point blank in the head.
I bet that felt so good.
Hell yeah. Two of Cal's guys walk up, and their names are Knight and Ghost, and in that moment, they said that they're friends, not foe, but she's, of course, got some major fucking trust issues going on, so they reassure her that Cal's coming. When she sees him, he's like, damn, good job, but can we get out of here? Graham is in really bad shape, and this place gives me the heebie-jeebies. Graham is being strapped onto a medical board, and he's completely covered head to toe in blood. Before the helicopter took off, Cal put his hand on Graham and reassured him that they got him, and Kaylin is here too. It's 6 months later. Kaylin is having a big night tonight. It's a charity gala for Fox, which is the company that she works for, and there's a huge anti-human trafficking organization that she set up. Her disappearance was literally plastered everywhere. It was a huge thing, so when she finally came back, there was a massive media frenzy. She ended up breaking up with Tyler after he tried to have sex with her and she had a panic attack and he didn't understand why. And she just felt like she couldn't tell him what happened. And she was like, this is not working out. Boy, bye.
Yeah, he sucks anyway.
After her gala, they had a silent auction. And one of the items is a painting of the woods when she was with Graham and they saw a deer drinking water. She hasn't seen Graham since that day 6 months ago. She has no idea if he pulled through or not. And when she went back to work, she tried everything to find him but could only find info on his past, nothing current, but she still searches for him every single week. During a toast for the charity gala, we find out that no one knows that she was trafficked at all. They just thought she was kidnapped. She tried telling law enforcement, but it was located in a different country, and she wasn't even sure where it was because it was like in the middle of a fucking jungle. She doesn't know where they landed. She doesn't know where it was. She would basically just say, like, I was sex trafficked, and they were like, meh.
So are a lot of people.
Yeah. No one believed her, so she just felt like a lost cause.
That would be so infuriating if you went through all of that.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
I'd shoot everyone. I'd go crazy.
As she searches the crowd, she sees none other than Craven standing there in the audience.
Get out of here.
What are you doing here?
She drops her champagne flute and has a mentee bee in the bathroom, then goes to look at her painting and sees that someone has bet thousands more than anyone else, and it's by this person called Theron North. She hears a voice behind her that says, admiring my newest acquisition, and it's none other than Craven in the flesh.
No.
Remember, she likes him, though.
Why? You're back in the real world.
He's impressed by Kaylin. He was stunned when he came back to the States and found her picture everywhere and found out who she was and what she did for work. When she's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm supporting a good cause.
Punch him. I would have fucking roundhouse kicked him.
Remember, the cause is for anti-human trafficking.
He's a human trafficker.
You participated, sir. You bought someone.
They're sizing each other up, and she's walking away, and he tells her he likes this her better. More wolf, less rabbit.
Shut the fuck up.
After the gala, the second she gets home, she knows something is off. She's ambushed right away from Cooper, and he tells her he's here to get her back. He just wants her to help him. Cooper is a Delulu martyr, so he says that he's causing all this pain and torture so it doesn't have to happen in the future. And he truly, legitimately believes that he's doing all of this for a greater cause.
What an idiot.
Their conversation is interrupted by none other than Craven and some of his tack team. Cooper ends up getting away, and when Craven gets close to her and sees how truly terrified and broken she is, he demands to know how bad it was after he left. So she tells him, torture times a thousandfold. He says, damn, I came here to get my dick wet.
What? No. What the fuck?
She's like, are you gonna rape me? And he's like, depends. That's literally what he says.
Run away. Run away.
And I think Craven is a little bit crazy because I think he thinks it's only rape if he's hurting her. Because he says he only hurts her when she doesn't listen. So I think that, like, if she doesn't hurt and she's, like, more willing, then it's, like, not rape in his head. Like, I think he's crazy.
Also depends. What?
That's what he says. He said, depends.
Maybe. Maybe I will.
Put up a fight, then yeah, it's rape.
Ugh. But if you seem like you like it, even though you said no, that's not rape. Gross.
She takes her dress off and he looks over every single scar and he tells her he would kill that bastard over and over again for what he did to his Pookie Bear. Kaylin sees compassion in his eyes and she's hella confused. There's a scene of borderline rape, definitely dubcon, because she's like, yeah, no, like, it's very confusing, but I still think it's rape. I think it was dubcon at that point because she started liking him, kind of. I don't know. I'm very confused. They're snuggling in bed now, and he confesses that even after Cooper said he wouldn't buy her, it wouldn't matter because she was his. And she goes, my anti-hero.
Bitch, you're smarter than this.
She's got trauma.
I said, girl, what? Honestly, I'm confused too, though, so I get it.
I mean, I feel like if you were in her spot, you would be confused because,
yeah,
like we said, he is the nicer out of all of them. Kind of, I guess.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
She doesn't need him. So, like, no. Why are you even entertaining this?
Because she has Stockholm Syndrome.
She needs a lot of therapy.
She goes to therapy.
She does go to therapy, and she started taking self-defense classes.
I don't know that. It's, yeah, Stockholm Syndrome.
The next morning, Craven tells her that he has security here, and they will be here until Cooper is no longer a threat. She's biting her lip and fixing her hair, and she's like, what are we? Like, you have security for me?
Oh my goodness.
She asks him if he would still like her if it was willing. And he tells her, it's up to her. She's his either way.
Oh my God.
Say what? What does that mean?
So they have consensual sex now. Like for the first time, she's like, let's have sex.
Okay.
She tells him what she needs to do to take down Cooper, a tack team, and for someone to physically go in there and shut it down. And he's like, I got you. She tells him her whole traumatic story from the plane till present and fills him in on Graham and Cal. And he's so proud of how strong she is. In fact, it's making him and her hella horny.
Time out real quick. He's like, yeah, whatever you need to take these people down. Is this fucker gonna get his $5.5 million back out of this? Like, you just gave that money away to rape her for 5 days straight, and then you're like, yeah, let's take him down.
Like, how do you even trust this man? Obviously, yes, we know he was nice, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he participated in all of this.
But now he wants to help take him down.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a front because he raped her behind closed doors.
Yeah, and he let his friend fucking do whatever he wanted with her for $600,000. How can you trust this person?
He did feed her cheeseburgers.
And french fries. And milkshakes.
And breakfast. And made a deal to get raped every day so she wouldn't get raped by multiple people.
What the fuck?
Yeah, just one rape a day instead of 20.
Yeah.
He's so nice. I'll have you crying out to God. He pulled back slightly to look at me as his hand slid down my ass and reached between my legs from behind. But he won't save you, baby girl. His finger stopped just outside my pussy. I'm your God now. What is with these men?
I hate it.
His finger slowly slid inside me and I moaned softly. And when I break you, he pulled his fingers away and leaned in, grazing my ear with his teeth. You won't even remember your name.
No more breaking her. She's been broken.
Let her be fixed.
Fix her. How about that?
She goes to, quote, that place of nirvana and has an earth-shattering orgasm and screams, Craven. And he tells her, nay, nay, I want to hear you say my real name.
With his other hand, he felt my clit and I tried to form a coherent thought as it all became too much and I shattered. The name Theron on my lips like a prayer. I felt his orgasm as intensely as my own and we disappeared into the other, completely lost to the divine plane of pleasure.
Later, Theron, aka Craven, confirmed that steps were already in motion to take down Cooper and the Warren, and she opened her computer and gasped. when she saw an email. And it's from Graham.
Grammy.
Come back. We need you.
Yeah, please.
So homeboy didn't just drop her like a fly. He's legit been in a coma this entire time.
Poor boy.
Yeah.
For almost 6 months.
He informs her that him and Chaos and Co., who are the two people that were like part of his team, are helping him take down Cooper, and he's going to finish what they started. He promised to go look for her when all this was over, and if he doesn't, then he's dead. And he signs the email with all of my love because I don't think what I feel for you can be anything else.
Graham!
I'd be like, Theron, scoot. Graham's awake.
Yeah, I gotta go get my man.
Kaylin's sobbing and Theron's like, damn, I didn't know you had a whole ass boyfriend. I don't mind as long as he's willing to share.
Shut up.
She tells him that he's going after Cooper too, and he tells her to give him all the info that he has on Graham and his team and he'll do the rest. The next day, she wakes up to him fucking her while she was asleep, and then he's like, okay, gotta go, babe. Got a crazy man to kill.
Maybe don't fuck her in her sleep after what she's been through.
Like, you literally asked her to tell you what she's been through, and he's like, oh, you know what I'm gonna do? Fuck her when she's sleeping.
Yeah.
A lifeless body. Yeah. But I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy.
I'm like a nice rapist.
Yeah.
I'm like good guy rapist.
Yeah, I'll treat you well, but don't resist.
Graham is with this team and they're fucking ready for Operation Red Rabbit. That's what this operation is called, to take down Cooper.
Hey, that's the name of the book.
Yeah, they said it.
So Graham was in a coma for 4 months, and the remainder 2 months he's been in rehab, getting his muscles back and trying to get his body back into shape after his near fatal injuries. Red Rabbit started out just as Cal's team, but it is now spread to over 50 PMCs who are all dead set on this operation ending once they start it. There's a bunch of super special people in there too. This man called Deathwing, who is basically like an explosive celebrity in the special ops world, and this man named North, who Deathwing even takes orders from.
North, who are you?
Wait, wasn't that guy named Theron North?
Oh, you listen. Yeah. A listener. As they get into the Warren, Cooper went old school and barricaded everything once they knew they were under attack. Graham and Cooper meet, and they get into this huge, deathly, manly brawl, and Cooper is flown across the room and lands at North's feet. Cooper starts laughing and says, well, if it isn't Kaylin's fallen angels come to avenge her.
Yeah, it is.
Cooper tries instigating the situation by asking North if Graham knows how much he paid for Kaylin, and homeboy is gagged. He's like, hold up, you're Craven? I heard about you.
I heard you're actually a pretty nice guy.
Yeah. War is going on right now, and they're having like a total bro conversation to the side. He's like, oh yeah, Kaylin told me to tell me she got your email and that she says hi.
He's like, oh, can we both fuck her? Is that okay?
Ask my brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're both like, well, if she's cool with it, I guess we're cool with it.
Graham, kill him.
Yeah. He's a sex trafficker participant.
He promised Kaylin he would never.
Fuck Kaylin. She doesn't know what she wants.
She's confused. It's the trauma.
I'd be like, ah, oh, he died.
In combat.
Ooh. Shoot. I guess it's just me and you. Dang it.
Cooper is tired of their little bro conversation that's going on and starts giving them a play-by-play of him assaulting her. And things get really ugly really fucking fast. Everyone gets hurt, but the only one who dies is Cooper. Graham fatally shoots him, and then North Craven Theron slices his throat and finds an empty vial in the science lab and collects some of Cooper's blood in it.
Every hunter needs a trophy. Take that back to our girl. Our girl. He stood up and fixed me with a calculating look. You didn't think I came here for justice and the good of mankind, did you? I laughed. Fair. Our reasons were the same. I could respect that. Don't tell Kaylin, North said. I think she's expecting us to be heroes. I don't think our girl is under any illusions that we're good men. We looked at each other. I realized I didn't mind sharing her with him. I wasn't usually like that, but I couldn't think of anyone else I'd trust more with her life. Besides me, of course. While what we had done in the Warren was fucked up, he'd taken care of her in there. So if my girl wanted to spare him, I'd spare him.
So you guys are gonna be a throuple. You know that he raped her after he bought her. And he's like, you know what?
Yeah, I like him.
Our
good
girl.
Guy.
Our girl.
I trust him.
God.
They all sound trauma bonded. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, except for Craven. He has no trauma.
No. He caused the trauma.
But now he has a girlfriend and a boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, how'd you guys meet? Oh, I just bought her for $5.5 million. It's like true love.
It's kind of a funny story.
We can't get into it.
If at this point, Grandma's like, fuck you, guy, and then just like, shot him and then him and Caitlin wind up together, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
A thruple? Are you fucking joking me?
Yeah. What the fuck?
They clear the building and then blow the bitch to the ground. It's 1 month later, and Graham finally sees Caitlin for the first time since leaving the Warren 7 months ago, and they immediately start smooching and getting freak nasty.
I worked her into a moaning mess until I couldn't take it anymore and stood up, crushing my lips to hers. I dragged her legs towards me and pushed into her in a single stroke, making us both groan. I drove in and out of her, one arm wrapped around her waist, the other in her hair. Our tongues danced together, teeth clashing in an effort to become one.
He's being cucked right now, though.
By the end, I have mixed feelings about Graham, because I'm like, really? Really?
Really? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? Where's your judgment?
He's a cuck.
They make sweet, sweet consensual love. She tells him that she got his email, and he tells her that Craven Northiron told him so, and also dropped the bomb that she is now both of theirs. And she said, ooh, Caitlin likey.
Caitlin. Go back to therapy, Caitlin. Yeah. I feel like Caitlin needs like an inpatient program.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, honey, you're dating one of your abusers.
And she's so smart, too. She's like smart, successful. She's not young, so she's not stupid.
That man seeped into her brain.
Pisses me off.
Graham gives her Cooper's blood and then asks her if she knows why he's no longer being charged with war crimes. And she's like, huh? What? I have no idea. So she got him cleared.
Oh, nice.
Don't ask how. We don't know.
She hacked the mainframe.
Yeah.
We're in the epilogue, and Caitlin sees Craven Northiron for the first time since returning from the Warren, and sees that he has a big boo-boo on his face.
Oh, no!
Graham's watching from the doorframe with a huge boner, and Craven Northiron takes Caitlin in his arms with her back to his front, and decides that three's a party.
His fingers slipped under the fabric to run down my center, and I shivered as his fingers pushed inside me. Graham's eyes flickered, and he rubbed himself through his pants, still leaning casually against the wall. Should we show him how pretty you come apart for me? I could tell he was looking at Graham because Graham's eyes shifted to Theron's, and I choked on how utterly searing their energy was. It was like they were having a silent conversation between gods on how best to share me, their prize.
You are a human being, not a prize.
Yeah, you're not an object, girl.
She doesn't care because she's hella fucking soaked.
They're taking her to Paris.
Yeah.
Craven Northiron has her spread out, finger blasting her, while Graham is watching.
Do you still taste him? Graham groaned, and heat shot through my body at the sound. The fire was a raging inferno, and I was going to burn right the fuck up.
She came on his fingers, and then he told her to go to Graham. She did, and he was like, you must bounce on it. They make sweet, sweet love, and when they finish, he told his sweet Pookie Bear that when he's with her, he doesn't feel broken, and that he loves her. This is Graham. And she tells him that she loves him too. And now it's Graham's turn to command Craven Northiron to bend her over the couch and fuck her senseless, so he does. She tells him, I'm yours, and he smirks and he says, no, you're ours. I did want to say, the book ends with a cute little blurb about a perfect painting of a red rabbit coming out of a dark, shadowy forest, broken and battered, but with a look of determination and strength. And her and the men are laughing and bickering about where in the house to put it. And they're all like kind of like a cute little family. Throughout the time that she's been out of the Warren, she's relied heavily on her art as a form of therapy. But it did impact on how the book ended and how she's healing from her trauma. And it causes the book to end on a really nice, light note.
Right.
But like, did she heal from her trauma when she entered a relationship with her rapist, though?
No.
He literally purchased her. That's like, what the fuck?
Both of these alpha ass men were like, you know what? Let's share her. And Graham's like, I know you raped her, but you're cool.
I like you. We could bro out.
Yeah.
Maybe her being with her rapist is a way of her taking control back in a way. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. Well, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I'll give it 3.
Do you think Graham and or Craven Theron North is sexy?
Craven? No, not at all. Graham, yes, but like lost me a little bit at the end there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Graham, yes. Craven, absolutely not. He's a rapist.
Would you trade places with Caitlin?
Fuck no. Fuck no.
Well, next week is our 100th episode. Woo! You
guys know that? That's crazy.
Isn't it? And we're going to be telling Riley all about Smut by Karina Halley. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
A romantic comedy about sex, love, and the written word. Okay, the written word. I think she's going to be a writer in New York. A big city of sorts. She's going to be a big writer trying to make it in the city. She's going to be down on her luck. She's going to meet this guy on the street. And he's just going to take her for a whirlwind romance and maybe help her write her next big article or blog post. I don't know. And they're going to fall in love. The end. And they're going to fuck. Tale as old as time. How'd I do?
You got one part right.
Yay!
Yay! Okay.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.